I feel like it just more randomizes the danger, though. Like, does it really protect us, or does it just, like, have a meteor go through its little slot machine and then just shoot it out another direction?
Well, it's huge, so I'm sure it's definitely stopped. Jupiter's
pretty big.
It's so big.
It's quite large.
It's quite large. And I always think, because Neptune is like the planet of the Pisces, that it's going to look like the Bahamas. It's like just a bunch of like sheets of ice and wind.
You know, nothing really looks like the Bahamas outside of Earth. You will be disappointed if you're looking for that kind of vegetation.
Yeah. That was another takeaway, is like Earth is the only water planet, like water, like liquid water.
Yeah.
At least in the solar system. And that almost brought me to tears. I was like, no wonder I fucking love water so much. Like,
yeah. It's the foundation of all life.
It's amazing.
You know what blew my mind recently? I went to the this exhibit on sharks. Sharks are older than trees. Just let that sink in for a second.
Just in general? What about redwoods?
No, yes, older than redwoods. Because all life started from the ocean. Sharks were one of the first, you know, known, I don't know the nomenclature.
Oh,
for
I see what you mean. I thought sharks had a longer life expectancy than trees.
Forever?
So they've been around longer. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Sharks have existed longer than trees.
I feel like you could say that about all marine life then.
I don't know if that's a good question.
Like shrimps?
This exhibit did not cover that marine life.
Yeah.
But you know where you can get Bahamas-like weather?
Often? Where?
In Cuba.
Oh, my gosh.
Because this is the Guantanamo Bay's podcast,
A Cuban Cousin Kiki.
I'm Brian Bogart.
I'm Julian Goza.
And it's just us in the studio today.
We've gotten so good at thruppling, though. I, like, thought about this earlier today. Like, we've really opened up the relationship.
Right. As hosts.
As hosts.
Right. Not as friends and cousins.
Right.
Although sometimes there's room for a third.
Within our cousinship?
Yeah.
I suppose. But they'll never know the cerebral intimacy that exists between us.
No. Another
fun. As two members of the same kin.
Right. Right. Like, fun fact about whales and, like, marine life. We're coming back. This is going to be a marine-based episode.
I'm down, bitch.
But, I mean, the way that whales communicate with each other goes so much deeper than what we're capable of doing as humans. They have parts of their brain that kind of connect on waves that we don't possess. That's why they can be so coordinated in water and communicate in such, like, complex and yet simple ways.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyways, we're whales, you know. That's how we communicate.
Yeah, and sonar.
Sometimes another whale comes along, not exactly on our frequency, but close enough that
we could swim a few leagues.
Yes.
With them.
Yeah, we can breach.
Right, are leagues vertical?
Yes, it is. I guess
whales don't really swim.
We could travel several fathoms.
Ooh.
I think that's another...
That's like a big unit of league.
That's a big
old bunch of leagues.
So many leagues to a fathom. I don't know how many. I don't even know which one's bigger, but fathom does sound bigger.
Yeah, fathom sounds scary as fuck.
Yeah. I can't comprehend how fucking deep this is.
Yeah.
So that's one fathom.
Yeah.
Two fathoms. Fuck!
The distance, interestingly enough, from the States to Cuba is, what, 90 miles?
90 miles.
Far from being a fathom.
Hardly a fathom.
That's...
Well, I don't know. Deep, though? I'll bet a fathom is at... Dylan, can you look up? As producer, these are your responsibilities. You must look up units of measurement when we talk about them. Could you find out how deep is a fathom? I don't mean to put you on the spot here. Give it up for Dylan, everybody.
Woo.
While he's doing that, we can...
6 feet.
6 feet is one fathom, bitch?
Like, I'm a fathom.
How much is a league? How much is a league? Way deeper.
It's
going to
be deeper
feet.
Than six. Yeah, because 20,000 leagues under the sea is a shitload.
Yeah.
3 miles.
Okay.
3 miles.
Yeah.
Okay, they need to switch names.
Yeah.
A league. I'm a league, honey. I'm no fathom. I'm a dainty little league.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wow. So funny. Well, didn't think I'd learn something today.
Thank you, Dylan.
But here we are. Thank
producer
you, Dylan.
Producer extraordinaire. Well, we're talking kind of about Cuba. This is Cuban.
Let's get into it.
Kiki.
I feel like a lot's happened this week over
Every
there.
Every week we have a little segment called News from the Motherland, because our mothers are from Cuba. It's our mother's land and our motherland. So Cuba, such a fascinating little island, always caught between these massive spheres of influence. They still manage to do their own thing through it all. You know, they're always the prettiest girl at the dance, and everyone wants to take them out on a date. Which is kind of the theme of this party, story from Al Jazeera that you shared, the Global South one, Dylan. Global South leaders demand end of plundering international order, G77+. China's summit comes amid growing frustration with the Western-led world order because of widening differences over the Russian war in Ukraine, the fight against climate change, and the global economic system. Basically, being like, hey, the West, fuck you.
It's usually the G77 summit.
And then there's a plus.
And this year, because China's so hot right now, it's plus China.
Right.
But G77 initially did not include China. It was started by countries.
So it's a plus. Okay, so I heard G77.
It's like a collab.
China. Yeah, it's a collab.
But it was started by countries of the global south. G77 was, which for some listeners that don't know what the global south is, that's Latin America, parts of Asia.
South America and Africa are like what people primarily think
and of. And parts of Asia.
Yeah.
It was started in 1964. And according to their website, the group was started to articulate and promote their collective economic interests and enhance their joint negotiating capacity.
I'm just taking a second to appreciate you bringing this research to the table and reading it off your phone, just because I feel like I'm normally the one reading the
headline.
Homie,
I've been sick. Like, what else was I going to do other than watch documentaries on planets and and type out verbatim what I planned on saying today?
What was your excuse all the last weeks?
Fuck you.
All right, so
I need to make reservations at restaurants, Brian. They don't just give those away. You have to be ready to refresh the page when it goes live.
Yeah, that resi's a hot
those
ticket.
Resi's are hot.
Yeah. So what else? Okay, so you said the first paragraph.
So I said why the group was started, when it was started.
Good.
And so the United Nations chief, Antonio Guterres, I think I'm saying that right. It's not spelled Gutierrez like the Mexican way. It's G-U-T-E-R-R-E-S. Okay. Joined 30 heads of state and government from Africa, Asia, and Latin America at the two-day gathering. So I actually Googled Antonio Guterres.
Okay, Julian, you're on a fucking roll,
hold
baby.
On a second. It's because I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a smoke a show.
Oh, no.
With a name like that, forget it, right?
You know, but, okay, go on. Just because when I think of, like, heads of state, and I think of heads of, like, you know, international, like, agreements, I don't think of snack
This
pieces.
Guy's a jazz musician that grew up in a favela with, like, long black hair. This is what I pictured. I'm saying what I pictured.
Yeah.
Kind of a swarthy Mediterranean Ken. And he is Portuguese, but he's given more cottage cheese than bacalhau. So you're right. He's just a lumpy dignitary who's super
Names old. Names can be deceiving. When like I've never met an unattractive Jenna, but they gotta be out there. I think of Victoria. I'm just like, Victoria, are you kidding me? Like, with that many vowels in your name and that many syllables, how are you not a smoke show?
Oh.
And I'll note, V is a sexy letter. V like Venus, the feminine, the divine.
It is. You're right. Vagina for straight people.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there, but that's also part of
it. But you're right, actually. I was so quick to not agree with you in my head, but you're right. V's sexy.
Yeah, V is sexy. Also, it's the shape of a, I don't know. It's the shape of
a vagina.
Yeah, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe
I have no idea what those are shaped like. So it's interesting that the United Nations chief joined these heads of state. I don't know if it's just kind of like a diplomatic move. Because you would also think that if this stands in opposition to the United Nations, like the summit claims to, then the United Nations would conversely try to ice them out. I mean, I certainly would be petty and be like, finally, we're not going to the summit.
Yeah. I mean, this is like not all countries, you know, NATO is part of the United Nations, even if it's a multinational body that exists outside of the United Nations. So These organizations exist.
Are still represented in the United Nations, of course.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. You know, there are G7 nations. You know.
But I feel like the rhetoric pits them against the mainstream interests of the United Nations.
Right, they perceive the UN to be, you know, primarily invested in Western interests, you know, theoretically.
Which brings in the plus China part of all.
Yes. So this is all very congruent with the BRICS partnership, which... There's a lot of different directions you can go in talking about this. I think in a very just plain sense, I don't want to talk about stuff I don't know a ton about.
You're better at it than I am.
Okay, well, here we go. In the realignment of like this global polarization, you know, China and Russia are heavily invested in the global south. And I think both sides, the West and the East, are doing their own version of some kind of colonialism in the global south.
Of course.
I think the global south is sick of American hedge money, as is a lot of the world.
I mean, China's the newer girl at the party.
But it's also a more desperate girl than people, I think, realize and a lot of headlines out of China the last few years. So many countries have been so focused on their own space, their own countries and societies, because shit's been tits up for the last 3 years, that they've had...
There you go, saying straight things again.
I know. That was a pretty straight way of saying things are bad.
Tits up. My skin, like, crawled for a second. I don't know why.
Triggering. We'll bleep that out when we put this on Instagram.
It was more just the folksiness of it, but keep going.
But a lot of the headlines that have come out of China have been extremely negative in their domestic production. They're affected by Russian sanctions because they've done so much business with Russia. They're caught in this political no man's land because they decreed their, you know, she said, Putin's my best friend, days before he invaded Ukraine and became the most unpopular person in the world and a global pariah. So China is now, like, kind of aligning itself with, like, I think it always had the notion to, like, align with, like, an anti-American stance, but this kind of accelerated that. So now, I think if China was more patient, they would have come out a lot, you know, looking a lot better. But they kind of have been making their moves a little earlier. They didn't anticipate the war in Ukraine to...
Like, they would have had the wherewithal to appear more moderate towards Russia. Had they not known that this would go tits up?
Exactly. I think... But also, they have... They look at their own demographics internally. They see that their financing has gone down in a country that's, like, completely dependent on foreign capital. So they have all these... Population, you know, population issues, economic issues, social issues, and so they probably had to make their move aligning with Russia earlier than they would have liked, hoping that, okay, this war in Ukraine will be over in 3 days, and that gives us access to now go after Taiwan, and in one fell swoop, we could literally reverse the whole international order. Now that that hasn't happened, they're kind of caught.
They're stuck in Havana with all the other, with all the global South countries being like, fuck.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, China, welcome to my party.
To borrow another straight
My mom
face.
Made some lemonade. Exactly. They're like, fuck. They're doing, like, body shots over at NATO.
Yeah.
Well, did you also hear...
Go ahead.
Cuba and Brazil were seen canoodling at Chris Eisel's Halloween party. I mean, the G77 summit. Lula, the president of Brazil, rekindled ties with Cuba. Because the former president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, is just a slash and burn little bitch. We don't like him much. Had halted talks with Cuba. So to see Lula kind of re-expressing interest in the country, which I thought was really cool.
It seems to align with, like, kind of BRICS and Global South, like, kind of values in that way. It seems to kind of, like, you know, you'd think they'd have a lot more in common kind of being anti-West.
Oh, BRICS. I learned about this in globalization when I was in college. Brazil, Russia, India, China, Singapore?
I think Saudi Arabia.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's also kind of like their own makeshift NATO that, you know, they, it depends on who you ask. You know, people in BRICS are probably like, oh, BRICS is the future. But I think a lot of economists don't, you know, don't think that there's, also it's really hard to get that many dictators on the same page.
Right.
You know, it helps if you have a common enemy, but I just don't know how long this episode of Friends is going to last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so an expansion of trade links between the two countries is expected to be on their shared agenda, or on this is just the G77 agenda. Brazil had a trade surplus of approximately $287 million with Cuba. That's according to some statement by the Brazil Foreign Affairs Ministry. I did too much work, I think, is what's happening.
I'm really getting off watching this. I'm not gonna lie.
Let me talk to you like the rain, Brian.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Brazil principally exported vegetable fats and oils, rice, and poultry meat. So Brazil's already been shipping stuff out to Cuba, which, thank God, anything to, like, offset this horrible embargo. And Cuba's going to the States next week, right? To D.C.
Your mother, my Aunt Carmen.
I was like, go on, motherfucker. What about her?
No, I loved, like, I was so happy to get this email from her because it was a News from the Motherland story. So from Reuters, the U.S. prepares measures to help Cuban small businesses. The Biden administration is preparing to unveil new regulatory measures to allow more U.S. financial support for small private businesses in Cuba.
Which kind of reinforces what you said is, like, they're trying to go at it through, like, the private business. That's how we're trying to aid Cuba, whereas China is kind of going with this more
government
collective.
You know. Right. Kind of like, you know, governments coercing other governments, whereas we're kind of trying to subvert that through the private sector, this burgeoning private sector.
Well, tell me how you feel about it, Brian.
It's the same old shit. Both sides have their own agenda.
For me, it's not enough for the U.S. to do that if they're not also going to just lift the embargo entirely, take Cuba off their list of terrorist states, which frankly is
insane. The worst of
that's
all
so
of it.
Awful. Yeah. Like, I'm not even fully Cuban, and I'm like, fuck you. Like, I'm no terrorist. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, oh my gosh, this is what Muslims felt like after 9/11.
There was a video game.
I am out here
game.
Feeling persecuted.
There was a video game. I'm pretty sure it was Command & Conquer, and it was this. It's like a strategy game. You know, you build an empire, civilization.
Like an RPG kind of.
Like that. Real time strategy game is, I think, what it's referred to.
Like Minecraft.
Every country is like kind of represented, and every country has its own special unit, right? Like American. If you're America, you can train Navy SEALs. If you're British, you could train MI6 agents. If you are Cuba, you know what your special unit is?
I hope, like, revolutionaries that look like Che.
Way worse, it's the terrorist.
They're called on the game?
Yes, on the game. If you are Cuba, congratulations. You get to train.
Call out that fucking fucked up game again. What's
I'm pretty
it
sure it was Command & Conquer.
Command & Conquer.
Yeah.
We'll be sure to tag series. Them. I'm literally, this is going on our Instagram and we're tagging them.
Yeah,
because totally. I think that's horribly fucked up. And maybe
because I was at a friend's house playing it and I was so excited
really
to be
Cuba.
Like, yeah, exactly. And then like terrorists, it was right after 9/11. My heart dropped. I was just like, wait, I thought it'd be one of those other countries.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like that's any better. But
They even have the resources to be terrorists. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, the state sponsored terrorism thing is probably the most ridiculous part of the U.S. sanctions
against
Cuba, especially since there are so many countries that are clear sponsors of terrorism that the U.S. has not put on that list. So I think it's just kind of kicking someone while they're already down. While you already have them, like, your foot on their neck, you're also spitting on them, too. It's like, the embargo is one thing, and the state-sponsored terrorism is just another. And they're both, like, it's hard to say which one's worse than the other, because they're just both two sides of the same. You know, they're just both sticks.
It's just one more way to disenfranchise.
There's the carrot and the stick. This is just two sticks. But maybe the U.S. is trying to extend a carrot to the private sector in the hopes that there's like a coup, is my guess.
And there have been something like 8,000 businesses that have been registered since Cuba opened up the private sector.
Right. And none can have more than 10 employees, I think. Like, there's still massive restrictions on how many employees you can have.
I don't know
enough
about capitalism to know if I'm pro or against that.
We talked about this a few weeks ago when you know, Cuba's private sector is like starting to compete against... Mm-hmm. The government, you know, because government jobs are so.
I vaguely
low
recall
paying.
That.
Yeah. It was literally less than a month ago.
I think, what was I on that day?
Yeah. That was my ayahuasca day. But yeah, active. As is always the state in geopolitics right now, this is going to be a turbulent decade.
I mean, I know they hosted the G77 plus China summit, but I feel like between this and going to DC next week, they're totally, I'm like, is this what Tom Holland feels like when he promotes Spider-Man? You know, it's like you're going to Dubai and then I don't know why his assistant is like German. But it's like, and then you're meeting Zendaya for a lovely dinner in Rome, and then we're going to Paris and then London. And then
all the best assistants are German. It's a stereotype, but it's true. And yeah, I guess there are Cuban ambassadors that are going to be in Washington, you know, in support of this Biden initiative. So, my guess is...
So here's to hoping that it goes well over in D.C.
And I think the U.S. is, like, low-key just trying to plant these little coup seeds. They're just like, hey, private sector. Yeah, why not? I'm not saying I agree with it, but
How would opening up the private sector...
You empower citizens who, you know, maybe some of them have towed the communist line for a long time, but now they're, like, looking at capitalism.
They're like 90% of my income or what?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Or you know, like, oh my gosh, I could make so much more than what the government's paying me, and I could pay other people a lot more than what the government's paying them, and the U.S. isn't enabling me to do this.
So I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you think the destabilization is worth it if the outcome means a larger class?
I don't know if destabilization...
Class isn't even the right word, but just a population that seems to be...
More prosperous?
More prosperous.
Yeah, I don't know if destabilization is ever worth it because it often has a ton of unforeseen circumstances that, you know, once that chaos has Boom. Been, you know,
as enacted. Someone that's seen a lot of space documentaries, you're ringing my bells right now.
Good, good. I'm glad that this is overlapping with your space interests right now.
Chaos, baby. It's inevitable.
You know, like my biggest hot take right. on U.S. imperialism is that we're not the only ones who are imperialistic.
Right. Maybe it's the U.S. more than China that does conditions. I'm trying to remember. But
they both do.
They both.
They both do. And they both have their own agendas, and you know every country does. But if you're a country like Cuba, you're just caught in the middle of these spheres of influence. And now that there is a private sector, there's more of a conversation between the U.S. and Cuba, like more consistently, and actually getting Cubans in the U.S. to talk shop.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure Cuba's probably not thrilled that their burgeoning private sector is like getting cozy with the Biden administration.
Right.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Ay Chihuahua.
Ay Chihuahua. Like, I always, you know, I want the best for Cuba.
Everybody, really.
For everybody, really. But especially the places I'm from.
I know. I know. I hate the stupid bullshit. I wish everyone.
It's just hard because there's no way. The only way out is through. That's know, another wonderful right? Hitler quote. No, that's, well.
Well, that
guess we should just hang up our little Yavetas here and.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else, because we've talked about Cuba plenty today, honey.
We did. I hope y'all got your fill.
And we'll definitely be talking about the DC stuff in the next coming weeks.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
For once, we have like a lot of news out of the country.
We didn't even, I know, right? It all happened in 1 week. And we didn't even talk about the fact, and we'll just gloss over this, but remember the Russian trafficking ring of Cuban citizens
to
recruit them in the Ukraine war? 17 got arrested in that ring.
I saw that.
Yeah. And that was what I was going to bring last week with our episode with Smaw, but we were having so much fun with her that we didn't get to it.
Yeah, I saw the headline.
Yeah. So you know, that's something that's happening. So it's shit's getting active. Shit's popping off right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a few weeks ago, I was like, hurricane, I don't know.
I know.
Bunch of
finally,
seagulls.
We got something to talk about. Thank God. So that's news from the motherland. Are we ready for...
Take me somewhere else.
Well, I think it's time to go to a little place in a faraway land called the World According to Jules.
That's the kind of place I want to live in.
This is where I read Julian a headline and I get his pure, unfiltered thoughts because he has such a fun, pure, unfiltered brain. So, 30 to 60 seconds. I will not interrupt you at all.
Okay.
About another. Can you do the Dutch artist, World According to Jules, Dylan? Thank you so much. Not Dutch, Danish. Same thing. Just kidding. So, Danish.
What, do you have like a radio show? I guess that is a podcast. If you remind me of John Candy in Little Shop of Horrors.
Whoa.
He
has like
a kazoo. And, like, yeah. Anyway.
I can't not lean into my radio ham. So, Danish artist. I think you're going to really like this story. This is so fun. Danish artist who submitted empty frames as artwork told to repay funding. So this is a Danish artist. He pocketed large sums of money lent to him by a museum. And he, as for the art, it was just empty frames. Your thoughts?
I think he should repay the funding, not because the actual value of production of the artwork costs less than the funding, not because the artwork is just completely void, but because conceptual art is over. I'm so sick of it. Like, if you want something that feels empty but still has a lot of spiritual resonance, look at an Agnes Martin painting or, you know, something a little more that has, like, a diaphanous kind of, like, surreal quality to it. I look at this and it really is just, like, stretched canvas, like, encased into, like, it's not even, I wouldn't even give it the credit of calling it conceptual. I think even worse than being conceptual, it wants to be conceptual. And that is perhaps the greatest void of all in art, even more than conceptual work.
Time.
All of your World According to Jules questions should be art. Because I'm not ensconced in it, I could really blow shit up my
I know. I know how to get what I need out of you now. I've always known. But that was so funny. I mean, that's so funny, so true, and also just so knowledgeable. I should have known to ask you a question about art. Like, you know contemporary artists, too.
I'm wearing a cardigan, Brian.
Yeah, I shouldn't. Yeah.
I look like a gallerist.
This was the right...
A gallerista.
This was the right headline to bring to you today.
It's just so... I'm so over it. I'm so over it.
I love how you said that the art is completely void, but conceptual art is dead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Such a bold declaration, like, and probably totally accurate.
I think so. I love like a beautiful figurative painting.
Remember when we went to the Museum of Contemporary Art a few months ago? And
first, we were so underwhelmed,
especially with the first.
I was like pissed off.
Yeah, we were all pissed. The first, you know, exhibit, which is like the kinetic exhibit, it's like movement based, and it's just like three kids like walking over themselves, holding ropes on like this barely elevated plane.
It claimed to be choreographed,
and it said it was with people who had no training.
Yes, which. Then I don't know. And like, if you're actually trying to look at like the tension between like improvisational movement and choreography, like I want to be able to perceive it. And right now it just looks like three people who didn't do the homework.
It looked fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, it was just like this long ass Basquiat exhibit, which I've never, I respect. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Basquiat.
I love that you've been walking around these streets being like, I'm more partial to Basquiat.
No one's corrected me. No one's ever corrected me.
Because they probably don't fucking know either.
Yeah. But I think I've heard, but Basquiat, huh? So, yeah.
Neo-expressionist. Yeah, that's some good shit.
You like Basquiat?
I do. Okay. I think now it's so
It's overblown. So saturated. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Same with Keith Haring.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Broad Museum in LA is doing an exhibition on it, like, it's over. That's how you know it's just... Yeah.
And then I saw it at the Broad, I saw it at the MoCA, I saw it everywhere. And then, of course, it's like the whole exhibit, and we're just like two white dudes walking around with all this like violent images of white against black crime. And it's like we can't laugh and enjoy or like have a conversation. We have to like stand reverent, like nodding our head.
Well, and that's kind of my whole issue right now with like institutional art and how it like postures to be like some social justice ass content. Right. And I'm like, dude, like the Sacklers are on your board. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You're just trying to herd like people in a room to like make them feel a certain way while you manipulate them and pull the strings. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that virtue signaling is, I think at one point it was kind of exciting, maybe like early Obama years, but now it's just like, cause I like to think of art as like cyclical and trendy. You know what I mean? It's like these larger patterns of like things that fall out of style. I mean, that's what makes art history interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't hesitate to discredit like certain social justice-y works as like passe.
No.
Just because of their content.
And we don't disagree with the message. We disagree with the fucking execution of the art and how it's being exhibited.
Totally.
I went there. Okay. are you ready for your next world according to Jules?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and do the Nigerian one, Dylan. Thank you very much. Nigeria frees 69 people on bail arrested over alleged gay wedding. The country's anti-gay law includes a prison term up to 14 years for those convicted and banned same-sex relationships and members of LGBTQ groups. Your thoughts?
So they actually bailed out the 69 people?
On bail. They released 69 people arrested at this wedding.
I mean, why? How would I not be for that? I'm not surprised that the prison term is up to 14 years. What I have questions about is this over-alleged gay wedding. So they don't even know if it was gay. And that's where we enter the world, according to Jules. This is how I can tell you a wedding is gay. If you see more than three pocket squares, that wedding is gay. If there's an ice sculpture of any kind, anywhere, at the reception, or, more importantly, during the actual ceremony, that wedding is gay. And if there's some kind of celebrity impersonator or, you know, a member of New York's literati in attendance, the wedding's gay.
Time. Thank you. So there are gay weddings that aren't that gay. You know, if it's a gay wedding that doesn't have an eye sculpture, a celebrity impersonator, more than three pockets.
Yeah, what do you think Pete Buttigieg's wedding looked like?
Yeah, probably. I'll bet it was not a very gay ceremony at all.
Yeah, it probably took place in an airport terminal.
It might have been. That might just be what he's projecting. I'll bet there was drag. I'll bet when it came down to it, Mayor Pete probably got
I would
down.
Almost hope not, because I don't think that's actually who he is. You know what really? I mean? Like, I wouldn't want drag at his wedding, because then it would be like the virtue signaling again. It's like seeing black art at the Whitney or whatever. I'm like, dude, like.
No, but like maybe he just did it privately. This was before he was running for president, you know. So just like, you know, think of Mayor Pete pre-presidential run. Do you think that guy
pink streaks in his hair? This is probably 2005,
right?
Yeah,
walking around Boys Town, you know, looking for a good time. You know, with political ambitions, running for mayor of South Bend.
When I went to Ghana, which not Nigeria, but you know the neighbors,
it's also in Africa,
also Ghana, in Africa, I hear. West Africa. Yeah. We were told, because this was through NYU that I was studying there.
Right.
We were warned, like, you know, be careful, because there's like certain times where like you could be entrapped and then sent to prison and whatever else.
Like with the honeypot.
Come again?
Like a honey dick is entrapping you.
Oh, is that what honeypot means?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've been calling so many women honeypots who are like not entrappers.
Well, but when you say it, I totally get it. Like, you've called Sydney Sweeney a honeypot ad nauseum. Like,
she's objectively like a pot of honey. She's so hot. I feel like I'm winning the poo when I look at that.
Right. So honeypot can imply entrapment. And like,
I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were warning you about honey dicks.
About all that honey dick in Ghana, yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So.
I wonder how far they would, like, you know, how far the honey dick goes with it until, like, you're under arrest.
Yeah.
You know,
just like. I also read this interesting thing that looked at what countries viewed the most gay porn. Mm-hmm. Kenya was number one.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
And again, they have, and maybe it is
wherever it's the most oppressed. The
more punitive measures,
totally.
The more they're going to want to fap it to gay porn stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not.
And that needs to be addressed. Like, if they actually want to get rid of it, you know, then, like, legalize it. And then, I mean,
that's how you'll get rid of it.
I mean, yeah, that's at least how you get rid of it being more surreptitious and negative. And
how do you get anyone to stop doing anything? Pretend like you like it, too.
Yeah.
You know, like your parents. Oh, Pokemon are cool. Well, now I don't like Pokemon anymore. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. It's kind of like what you see with priests. And I saw this documentary on the Boy Scouts. Like, the more gays and stuff are castigated in society, the more they will turn to, like, things that are potentially...
Harmful. Yeah.
And hurt other people.
Yeah, because those are their only outlets.
Not to say they were all gay. No. But, like, there's a weird connection there. But, and that's why it's like, oh, all gay men are pedophiles. And I'm like, not the ones that are out, honey.
Yeah.
It's the ones that aren't out.
It's Troop Ranger Rick you gotta fucking look at. Who insists on being called Ricardo, even though he's not Hispanic. And what's up with that
mustache?
Troop
Ranger Ricky's definitely, if he's at the wedding.
And if Troop Ranger Rick
is at a wedding
and insists you call him Ricardo.
Also, quick pivot, Brian. Oh, my God, that Mike Pence video that you showed me of him flirting with the guy in the tractor.
We got to post that on the Instagram.
Oh, my God.
He's flirting so hard.
He's got good taste. That guy was hot. Bobo was hot.
Dude, Mike Pence is literally cranking the guy's, like, shift on his John Deere. He's like, should I hold this stick for you? And he's like patting the guy's chest, and he's just like, he's flirting with him. He's literally trying to arrange.
It's painful. It's painful to watch.
Because he's like arranging a meetup. He's like, so, you know, after this, what are you doing, you know?
So, yeah, free him. Free all 69 people, which LOL 69. I'm guessing that's also why he chose the
sign. That did not play a role, unfortunately. I wish I was above that.
But, like, make it okay so you don't have Mike Pence, like, kind of covertly, like, grabbing guys' pecs that are, you know, on tractors.
Yeah, just make it okay.
Make it okay. Yeah.
I think we have time for one more World According to Jules.
Fine. But what about me? What happens to me when you go into the light? I'll be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be fine.
Well, here it is. We're going to find out. And you actually shared the story with me earlier. You do the Russell Brand one. YouTube stops letting Russell Brand earn money on the platform amid reports of sexual assault. Your thoughts?
I think this is super fucked up and scary. I wish you hadn't brought this topic in because I feel really strongly about this. I don't know what Russell Brand did and didn't do. In fact, most people fucking don't. And included in that list of people is YouTube. So the fact they could just, like, entirely deplatform someone overnight over claims, allegations that haven't even been tried in court is terrifying and is, like, a part of this precedent that's already been set where, like, anyone that's remotely alternative or irreverent, if they've done anything or if anyone claims that they've done anything, they could just virtually be erased.
Now, if he's been convicted, how do you feel?
Then YouTube could act accordingly. And also, it's a private company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, but at least wait till the damn fucking conviction, bro.
Right, or the now, what if, like OJ, he's acquitted, but it seems very obvious that he did it?
Keep them on YouTube.
Because the justice system's not perfect, and it does favor people who have money.
Yeah, let him write a book calling, saying, I didn't do it, but if I had. I didn't rape them,
but if I did, this is
how I do it.
But I didn't fuck that girl, but if I did, you know, here's how I do it.
It's kind of my wrestling. I can't believe I found him attractive at one point. Like, get him to the Greek days, like, forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, it's because his roles were so sexual And
that's, I know. And that's also a frustration, and I don't want to victim blame.
Go ahead.
But there's also that kind of thing of like, it's Russell Brand, guys. Like, it's baked just be into in a room. His brand.
Yeah. I just wouldn't be in a room alone with him. But that's not to victim
blame. I was in a room with him and a bunch of other people at SoulCycle.
Did you feel threatened?
Well, no, because I'm not a honeypot.
You're working on it at SoulCycle, though.
Damn right.
How was he at SoulCycle?
Good.
I'll bet pretty
one,
good.
One of us.
Yeah.
I've seen Mindy Kaling there. Same thing. I mean, it's a place they go to be humble and feel humbled.
Nice.
Same reason I go.
Nice.
And again, I don't think I should arbitrate whether I think he did it or not. Like,
I just think he did just because it seems so obvious that he did.
Probably.
The Onion article was like people surprised, like people could have sworn he'd already been accused of sexual assault in the past, you know, and that's a pretty accurate.
I mean, and this was a hot take. I actually got into a fight with one of my friends in San Diego who's very liberal lesbian because I was like, Twitter should not have deplatformed Trump while he was president. Like, that's crazy. Like, if they did that to Biden, people would be incensed. And you have to think about it from all sides. Like, this kind of is a similar situation where, like, you take away someone's First Amendment.
It's, you know what? Back to destabilization. Like, this is kind of its own form of destabilization. Well, although, you know.
I mean, you see this in, like, fascism.
Although he was destabilizing, too. So you're kind of trying to destabilize.
Yeah.
But also his base. Now you destabilize his base, and now you create this.
Yeah, and he's still president.
He's still president?
When he was deplatformed, he was still president.
This was after January 6th, right, when he was deplatformed.
I believe so.
So this was, he was like, on his way this out. Was like a week or two before.
I'm just saying, if the incumbent president could be deplatformed, doesn't matter who the fuck he is. That's intense. That's intense. And once again, it's private companies that are arbitrating this. Mm-hmm. That is scary shit.
Yeah, no, and we talked about this last week, like tech companies are their own countries, you know, and they are going a long way towards shaping legislation just through their actions.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself is, you know, whether you agree with the Russell brand ban or not, that's still something that I think we're all just like nervous about. But that's the world according to Jules.
Woo.
Woo. Okay.
I knew you'd bring up fucking Russell Brand. And I was like, Brian, don't make me do this.
Don't make me go red state on this bitch.
So, all right, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have on the docket?
Boogie, boogie, bum, bum. Or today it's Vogie, Vogie, Bum, Bum. Why is it Vogie, Vogie, Bum, Bum today?
Well, this involves British Vogue.
Right. And I guess this is a segment where Julian reads me a headline and I pull up a song.
That the headline reminds you me of. Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you for explaining that.
Go ahead.
So Choma Nadi is British Vogue's new editor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go. Replacing Edward Enifol after a 6-year run. Now, Edward is African American.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he's British.
Okay.
What do you call that? British African?
Well, you could be just a black person who's British.
Yeah, he's a black British guy.
What is their word for it?
And it's just weird because I feel like 6 years, relatively speaking, is not that long. And so I asked my friend who's a fashion insider, I was like, what did he do? Like, did he piss off Anna Wintour, who pretty much runs that entire publishing house at this point?
Even though she's not.
She oversees Bon Appetit, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, she oversees every outlet.
Yeah, even though Jeff Bezos isn't CEO of Amazon, he's still running Amazon.
Yeah.
Right? Like, much like Anna
Wintour. She's very hands on. Yeah. So people wonder if there's beef between the two. And he's really done a lot with British Vogue. So I'm curious to see what Choma does. And interestingly, she's more editorial, whereas he's more of a stylist.
So what do you think about this move?
Well, I think Edward was just getting started. I liked what he was doing. And 6 years, I mean, Anna Wintour's been there since 87, I think, or 88. I mean, she's ruled with an iron fist now. And she's like 70-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. So to then compare that to a measly 6-year run, it's just like, damn, like... I think he really had it in him.
I don't think she was ever going to let anyone even come close to potentially challenging her.
Well, ideally, at one point, she won't be in the position to decide, but who knows? She's
at this point, she's... I notice, and you know what? I'm going to have to borrow an analogy from football, just because in kind of like college football, there are a lot of coaches who will be at a program a very long time. They'll
leave it to you to turn. Hold on,
I promise this is a solid metaphor.
Okay,
because if they're at a program for a long time, they become synonymous with that program, and they want to, you know, whenever it's time for them to move on. Last thing they want to do is like leave behind this well-oiled machine for the next guy to pick up and do even better than they did. So a lot of times they'll try to, you know, burn it on the way down. I don't think Anna Wintour wants to burn down Vogue, obviously, but I don't think she wants any kind of cult of personality that's going to touch her reputation. And also, you know, Choma...
But that's just part of the job.
Sure, but Choma is also the first black woman in this position.
I believe she's Indian.
Oh, it's I thought it said African American in the headline.
Not
like in the story.
She's definitely British.
She's British. Okay. Or maybe it just said woman of color, and I just conflated that with. Okay. But she's the first woman of color in
this
position.
That's so vague. Like, me too, girl.
I know. I've noticed any chick who's just brunette has been calling herself a woman of color lately. Have you noticed?
Listen, they got to get jobs however they can.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So do you have a song that the headline reminds you of?
You do your first.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Let's see if I could find it without... Oh, you know what? I think I found it right here.
New attitude?
New attitude, baby. British folks got a new attitude.
I love it. Mine's very straightforward. And okay. Just because it's, yes, yes, raw queen, you got this. That hook is so good, but also because it's like, this is Vogue. We're here for fun. We're here for light fare. We're here for the fluff. We want the profiles. We want the celebrity. We want the material. Also, growing up or like in middle school and high school, your ringtone, anytime you got a text, was material girl, or anytime someone signed on into AIM. I remember when
me?
You... Yes.
My username?
Yeah. Anytime someone's...
Brian.
IM'd you?
No.
Yes. I swear to God. I remember this. You don't remember?
Maybe you're right. That's so gay.
That's so gay.
And I was closeted.
Yeah. Dude.
I need to tell my... I have a specific friend that I'll tell certain like memories to. And she's like, how were you not out to your parents until you were like 30, 20
you
years
were,
old?
You were, but... Well, they
no.
knew.
They knew, out, but yeah. I wasn't out.
You weren't out. And when you were in Africa, it's funny because you were talking about... like careful with the honey dicks in Africa, but that was also when you were like first coming out, right?
Yes.
That was like right around that time. I remember when you got back was when you finally like kind of came out to me.
Yeah. That was the first time I came out to like classmates, which like, what a bummer. I wasn't out my first 2 years at NYU.
I know. Right. You could have,
who knows
what other honey dicks.
Then maybe that was some of God's protection at work over there.
Probably.
Cause fuck.
He's like, my son, you're going to have quite the run. So you don't need to
rest. I'm sure there's a sports metaphor in there. Sit in the dugout for a little.
It's like when Qui-Gon was resting while they were fighting Darth Maul. I'm just kidding. Okay. Although sports. That didn't happen. Sports.
That's Star Wars.
Well, it's still like a very hetero, you know.
Sure.
Metaphor. But you like Star Wars.
I do.
Yeah.
We came up half second of a lesbian kiss in whichever one had.
We came up in a Star Wars family.
We certainly did.
Yeah.
Well, that ties up.
Boogie boogie bum bum. Voggy, 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 bum, bum.
Interesting. I said it with the V the first time, and then second time you said it with the V.
We reversed. We completed each other.
That's
in a way.
Sweet.
That is sweet. See,
and a little gay?
So gay.
Which brings us to our gay item
of the week. Beep, beep. We still need to get that one down. So every week, Julian, like once upon a time, I asked Julian to bring a gay item of the week, like a news item. What's happening in the queer world we could talk about? He confused it with the physical item, like a vase, or even just saying the word vase. This is enough of a gay item. So now, to honor his confusion, he brings a gay physical item and a gay news item. What is the physical item?
Sis. The gay physical item of the week is Physique Pictorial from fall 1957.
Oh, wow.
Featuring an illustration by a wonderful illustrator named Quaintance.
What's his name?
George Quaintance.
Yeah.
And he depicted a lot of kind of Western broguish men.
It's kind of like a precursor to an Abercrombie catalog.
You're tapping into it, Brian.
Yeah.
And so that's the photo of Quaintance to give you an idea of how much he was looking for a honey dick.
so that was him. That's him in the thumbnail.
That's him. And he did these beautiful illustrations for these periodicals. He's famous for his idealized, strongly homoerotic depictions of men in mid-20th century physique magazines and using historical settings to justify the nudity.
What's homoerotic about that? That's just a dude. I'm just kidding. He's, I mean, no one looks like that.
That's a cropped haircut.
No one looks like that.
But his artwork helped establish the stereotype of the macho stud.
Ooh.
Who was also homosexual, leading him...
So before the 1950s, no one could comprehend or fathom a macho stud.
Think about it. They were Nancys.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
seeing the Nance with Nathan Lane?
Or just like very skin, you know, like and people didn't have access to like nutrition and weightlifting yeah. and stuff like that.
They were like bespeckled and like, they looked like Cole Porter or something.
Yeah. Wispy.
Wispy.
Wispy little man.
But this guy is now called the pioneer of the gay aesthetic.
Wow.
For that reason.
Just like
it's really beautiful. I found this in some really unassuming little store, I think in Lake Arrowhead. And
it's funny, Quinn, a friend of the pod, he asked me, where does Julian get these gay items of the week? And I was
like his house.
well, and just like, but how does your house come to be filled with this stuff? And I'm just like, dude, gay guys, they just got an eye. I was like, their eyes go to like what they like and they just curate their space.
And I fear that one day some of this will be lost to history. So the collector in me wants to save it and preserve it.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's just a vestige of living in a more homophobic time or something, but...
that's reemerging now?
What, homophobia?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. I mean, never say never. You don't know if it's going to be... What's that movie where they...
All goes in cycles,
where they burn
maybe.
All the books.
But I never Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, Fahrenheit 451. I was like, Celsius 282.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Yeah, so who knows if it'll be Fahrenheit 451 in this bitch. So the gay news item of the week.
Yeah, what happened in the gay world?
So a lesbian proposed to Adele during her Vegas residency.
Wow. And Adele said yes.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. No, Adele...
I mean, just to, like, you know, make her look good in front of a crowd and then afterwards be like, listen, honey, this isn't going to work
out.
Oh,
she wouldn't do that because she knows no. that girl would turn around and get online and be like, Adele broke my heart.
It'd be way too messy.
But she asked if Adele would marry her, to which Adele said, you can't marry me. I'm straight, my love. And my husband's here tonight. So that was her revealing that she was actually married.
Oh, I thought she was already married.
Like, well, she was and then divorced someone and then was dating this guy for a while and didn't tell anyone. But they're married.
Hitched.
And that was her way of kind of coming out with it.
Oh, wow. And I imagine the crowd, they're at Adele. They know what her relationship status is, presumably. So when she announced that, I'm guessing, did the whole arena erupt?
Probably.
Like, did people lose their shit?
But afterward, okay. the lesbian said, but do you want to try at least? Or- And Adele said, no, I don't want to try. I'm with Rich. You're crazy. Leave me alone.
So
does this remind you of your time as a go-go boy in the gay clubs of Kentucky, my sweet cousin?
I mean,
I want to marry you.
Maybe not marriage proposals, but I actually just tried this tag for the first time last night talking about it. But I got propositioned a lot, and most commonly people wanted me to just, like, come on them. They were just
whoa.
Like, yeah. You know, so they're, you know, like...
Well, like masturbate and then come on.
Right, okay. Right.
The way you phrase it, it's like, go in that back room.
On demand.
Get really hard and then come back out when you're ready to come.
Or I don't even touch it. I just like, okay, here you go.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
No, they would proposition me to masturbate unto them. And and then I always turned it down. And now I'm just like, how homophobic am I that I turned down all this money just because I wouldn't come on a guy?
I know, and it's Kentucky. It's like, you don't have to worry about, like, narcs for prostitution.
No, I'm still glad I didn't do it just because I probably couldn't get, you know, if it's not something I'm into, I don't want to have those images, like, burned in my mind. You know, I just don't want to, like, come back and be like,
Brian,
oh, my God.
Because, someone that has had like, questionable experiences, they never fully leave your mind.
No, they don't. No,
you know, that's something, those are images you got to live with.
Yeah, so a few extra,
what doesn't
you know,
kill you. Makes you stronger, in the words of our fellow Texan Kelly Clarkson.
A few $100 here, a few $100 there. Like, what's it going to be worth compared to my peace of mind?
Yeah. Even though cost of living in Louisville is pretty cheap. So.
Oh, man, I was netting.
You'd get a studio apartment for whatever they pay you.
I had just graduated. I was like, this is the poorest I ever was. You know, there was a reason why I was dancing. It wasn't purely for fun.
It wasn't just to bait the gaze.
No. It wasn't. And, you know, like, I had a fun time doing it. Like, it was the way I could make the most money in, like, a two, like, not even full day's work. It was just, like, a few hours on a weekend here and there.
Well, and count your lucky chickens. What's the phrase I'm thinking of? Because, you know, who knows? Maybe one of those people would turn around and fucking brand you, you know? And I do mean Russell Brand, you know, and be like, well, hey, it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, see, and it's like,
bitch, it was 2017. Like, I just wasn't I guess that's supposed to be too.
It was 2013.
2013, okay, people, different time.
There was a guy named...
So, Brian, you could be honest. You could tell us how many people you masturbated on.
I'll dox the one guy. His name was... Wait, really? No, I didn't masturbate on him. But there was this guy named Charles. It was like this big old hairy dude. And
go on.
Amos, the GM, was like, you should dance with Charles. He has so much money. And I was like, okay. And then I went, yeah, Amos sounded like Mr. Garrison. I never put that together. He was the GM of Triangles.
whenever you do Amos, I picture the old man from Family Guy that's like, hi, Chris.
No, he looked a lot like...
He's wearing a bathrobe.
He looked a lot like former LSU coach Les Miles, which you wouldn't know. But this, he looked like this. That's what Les Miles looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not no to Amos.
No, he's... And he'd always greet me with by saying, like, hi, whore. He's like, go dance with Charles. You know, Charles has a lot of money. And he looked like a Miami gigolo. But he called me over like I was a squirrel. He'd be like... It was very disturbing. It's very disturbing. And then when I...
So you did dance with him?
Danced kind of on him a little
and
bit.
And how much money did he get?
Not a lot. I was like, this is rigged. I think he was just trying to, like, you know, tease, like, $1 at a time oh so slowly, but...
Maybe Amos is the one that got the payday.
Yeah, this was
it went to the middleman.
It felt rigged.
Classic.
It felt very rigged. And then there were some dudes who were so nice, just drop a 20, you know?
Yeah.
And
I'm more a fiver kind of guy.
But that's anything above... I mean, I don't care if you give me ones, but don't, like, treat me like you're doing some enormous favor.
Yeah.
Giving me, like, the slowest roll of ones in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything above that is just gravy.
Wow.
Yeah.
The world of go-go boys.
Yeah.
I bet people were pretty invasive, and for that I'm a little sorry, Brian.
It's okay. Yeah, some guys
they
kind of
think
pull
it
up.
Comes with the territory. We think it comes with the territory.
And maybe once upon a time it did.
Well, and most of them are gay, Brian, right. So they don't really care.
I get it. Yeah, you'd have the occasional guy try to pull a scratch and sniff if you were dancing on the bar.
Whoa. A scratch and sniff?
I won't tell
what
you.
What side of your body did the scratch?
Whichever one they had the easiest access
oh
to.
Oh, my God. We're animals. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't hold it against. Obviously,
you're
I'm
right,
here.
Mike Pence. We're animals.
Lock me up.
Meow.
Well, we have a movie to catch, right?
Yeah, we're going to go see Dumb Money. And we will not be pulling a Lauren Boebert, who, by the way, when we talked about her, the Beetlejuice fiasco, right. We said that was in New York, and it was in Denver.
It was in Denver,
and yeah. I feel like that's a necessary.
You know what footage came out afterwards was her getting fondled.
I saw that.
By, like, very publicly and appropriately. Also, she was vaping. A pregnant woman was next to her, asked her to stop, so she was given every chance to not get kicked out.
I think homegirl was just white girl wasted. Like,
yeah, but also, she's introducing all these bills about, like, public lewdness, and right. She was publicly lewd.
Right.
At a kid's play, you know? I mean, Beetlejuice is for everybody, but it is also, like...
Thank you, Brian.
But it's a family play, right?
Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
Yeah, so...
I didn't mean to talk about her, but then I was like, you know what? We should correct that, because my dumb ass was like, what was she doing all the way in New York?
Off-Broadway. Yeah.
Off
Broadway. It was the national tour, you know. So
yeah, they don't give that away.
These weren't slouches.
As someone that's auditioned plenty of times for it, they don't just give it away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But with that said, the lights are dimming.
The popcorn's buttering.
It's Brian.
And Julian.
At the multiplex. So we're going to go catch the new Dumb Money movie. We'll let you know how it goes.
That's a reference, by the way, to a wonderful film that I recently showed my friend when we were in Cancun called America's Sweethearts.
So
it's a good. Fantastic movie.
I remember we first saw that like on vacation
Lake
at the
Tahoe,
hotel.
2002.
Lake Tahoe, yes. And it was like one of those movies on demand, and it, we like had it for 24 hours, and like
so
after
good.
Skiing, we just like binged it. We were like, "This is so good," not knowing half the jokes.
Yeah, but we'll see if Dumb Money's a tenth as good as America's Sweethearts.
If it is, I'll be thrilled.
I actually auditioned for it.
Dumb Money.
So this will be like a bittersweet for me to go. Yeah, like a small role.
Let's go talk shit about who you would definitely have done a better job than.
Oh my God, let's.
Movie. Yeah. Thank you so much. From the Guantanamo Bays, I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
Thank you, and hasta la próxima.
Hasta luego.